Good morning, it's good to see you. My name is Jake, and I want you to know that I love you. Let me speak really quickly to our friends from La Pequeña Belén. Thank you so much for letting us just share in this special service this morning. Can we give a round of applause for those who've been baptized this morning, starting a fresh life? Can we give a round of applause for these awesome assistants as well? If you'd like to follow along in the sermon this morning, we are going to be on page 77 in this workbook if you want to take notes. Let me pray, and we're going to dive into the Word. Here's my hope as we worship together this morning, is that every person in this room, in their own language, could experience the freedom that Jesus wants to give you today. So let me pray, and we'll dive into the Word together. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for your Word, for the power that it has to set us free. It's my prayer this morning that, Father, you'd meet us right here in this room, that you would come to us wherever we might be, and you would speak to us about what it means to be free. Father, you came to liberate those who are in captivity. You came to set those free who are living lives for themselves so that they could experience the true freedom of living for others. And so, Father, I pray today, would you break our heart for your Word, break our heart for the things that break yours. And Father, could you meet us in this place? It's in your name that we pray. Amen. I want to ask you a question this morning as we get started. Where do you feel most free in your life? Where do you feel the most liberated, the freest that you could be? For some of you, it might be on Friday afternoon when you finally clock out of work. You have no plans, no weekend agenda. Maybe watch the Buckeyes, maybe eat some good food, but there's no agenda and you're just heading home for the weekend. For some of you, it might be when the bills are finally paid for the month. You know, the groceries are bought, the water bill's paid, the mortgage is paid, and at least for the next couple weeks, you can just breathe until you have to fret about it next month, and that's pretty awesome. For some of you, it might be getting lost in that hobby. Maybe it's a DIY project that you like to do, getting out on your bike. I'm gonna reveal something about myself. I'm a puzzle guy. I love to do puzzles. I could get lost in a puzzle for a couple of hours, like a 2,000-piece puzzle. There's one on my kitchen table right now. It makes me just feel free because I don't have to think about anything. I can just kind of mindlessly work on my puzzle. For some of you, feelings of freedom might be tied to a place. Hannah and I have been going to the same little condo in Clearwater, Florida for a couple of years now. And I don't know, how many of you are like me where it takes you a couple days on vacation to kind of settle in and start to finally feel a little relaxed and free? That's me. It takes me, if we leave on Saturday, it takes me until about Tuesday to kind of settle in and just relax, stop thinking about work, and just be present on vacation. But when we go to that place, we just feel kind of at home. We feel free. We've gotten into the habit over the past couple of years of going on vacation with our friends Dusty and Kara. And we thought it'd be a little rough this year because Dusty was injured on vacation. Here's a picture of us on vacation this year. It was a good time. I got to push Dusty around in his wheelchair all week. And the poor guy, he had to endure the glares of like a bunch of little kids who just thought it was really dumb to bring a wheelchair to the beach. And it was really sad because we'd be playing in the water, you know, Hannah, Kara, and I, and we'd look back up at the balcony and there's Dusty with his leg up, just watching us play. It was really sad. It was. We actually, one night, it got kind of late, and so we decided, you know, he hasn't got to really see the water, so we got back from dinner, and we thought we'd walk him out to the shore. So it literally took about 10 minutes just to shoulder him and walk him very slowly out to the shoreline where the water meets the sand, and so he could get his toes in the water and all that. And would you believe, after 15 minutes of struggling to get him there, the moment we got there, it started to pour down rain. And it was like lightning on the water. Like the poor guy, we just had to turn around. He just couldn't catch a break. And he was like, I just want to see the water, you know? It was really, really sad. I did appreciate his attitude though, because, you know, Kara was worried about him. Are you having a good time? And he said, honey, a torn patellar tendon on the beach is better than a torn patellar tendon in Middletown any day of the week, right? How many of you say amen to that? That's some freedom right there. This morning, we're going to look at the freedom that Peter talks about in his letter. And we're going to focus really just on one verse in particular. I want to hone in on one verse because it says a lot about the nature of Christian freedom. You know, Jesus, when he came to this earth, he said that his mission was to liberate people who were in captivity, people who were living in slavery to themselves, people who were living under the influence of the enemy. He wanted to set them free. If you remember when we studied the Gospel of Luke, you'll remember this verse from Luke chapter 4. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind," and here it is, "to set the oppressed free." Jesus said, my whole purpose in coming to this earth was to set people free who were living in bondage, to set people free who were living in slavery. Now, Peter was Jesus's best friend, and he spent a lot of time with Jesus, and so he knew Jesus's mission statement, and he picks up on that thought when he writes a verse that we're going to look at this morning in his letter. And I want you to lean in, and I want you to read this verse slowly and listen closely, because it almost seems like a paradox when you first read it. It almost seems incompatible, like it doesn't quite make sense. But let me read it to you. We'll read it very slow. This is verse 16 of chapter 2. "Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Rather, live as God's slaves." Let me read that again. "Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but live as God's slaves." Did you catch that paradox? On the one hand, Peter says, let's live as free people. And yet on the other hand, he says, don't use your freedom as a cover-up for evil, rather live as God's slaves. So which is it? Are we supposed to be free people? Are we supposed to be slaves? Are we supposed to be servants? What is Peter saying? He's actually saying both. He's saying, I want you to be free servants. If you want to know real freedom, it comes through being a free servant. What Peter's trying to do is he's trying to help us understand the true essence of what it means to be free, the true essence of the freedom that Jesus came to give. And so here's the main idea this morning, if you want to write this down. You are truly free when you know what you've been set free from, and when you know what you've been set free for. Let me say that again. You are truly free when you know what you've been set free from and what you have been set free for. Most of the time when we think about freedom, we mainly think of being set free from something. But Peter says that's only half the battle. God has also set you free for a purpose. So let's talk about those two things this morning. The first one is this. Jesus sets us free from the prison of self-centeredness. Jesus sets us free from the prison of self-centeredness. According to the Bible, you and I live in enemy-occupied territory. That means that Satan is in free reign on this earth, and we live in his territory. And the Bible says this in Ephesians 2. It says, you used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. Peter's saying, at one time, all of us were prisoners of war. We were captive to our own selfish nature. He says we were living in a prison cell of our own selfishness. You see, living a self-focused life is like living in a prison of your own making. It's like living in solitary confinement. You know, studies about those who've lived in solitary confinement for a long time say that they begin to lose touch with reality. They begin to lose their real sense of self, and they're kind of captive to their own minds. And Peter says, God has set you free from this prison of self-centeredness. The enemy would love to hold us captive in a prison cell of thinking of ourselves. And some of you this morning might find yourself in that prison cell. You might be here this morning and you might be in a prison of bitterness. Maybe someone close to you has hurt you or wronged you or caused you pain. And those hurts run very, very deep. And that's such a bondage because we begin to harbor this hatred and this hostility towards that person who hurt us. And we're shackled by our own anger and our own frustration, and we can't see past the blindness in the prison cell we've built around us. Someone once said, harboring unforgiveness is like drinking poison and hoping the person you hate dies. It does nothing but destroy your own soul when you're willing to unforgive. And I know that there are some people in this room who've been very hurt. And God came to set you free from that prison of your own pain so that you could be a person who's free to forgive, free to give joy. Some of you this morning are here and you're in a prison of worry. Day by day by day, you're anxious about your future, about the decisions you're making, about the state of your family, and you're stuck in this cycle of overthinking and rethinking and overthinking the decisions that you're making. And you might be here and you might go, well, what does anxiety have to do with self-centeredness? When we choose to worry, when we choose to be anxious, what we're saying to God is, I don't believe that you're going to come through for me. I don't believe that you're big enough to handle my problem. And so I'm going to have to figure it out myself. And we start manipulating our circumstances, start trying to control the things that are happening to us so that we can have things turn out the way we want them to. And really what we're doing is we're building a cage thinking of our own needs. Some of you this morning are in a prison of comparison. You're looking around at those people in your family or your small group or your friend circles, and you're going, why can't my life be like theirs? Why doesn't my life look the way theirs does? Why don't I have what they have? And instead of enjoying the blessings that God has given you, you're stuck behind this cage and you can't enjoy them because you're so focused on what everyone else has. And I want you to know this morning that Jesus came to set you free from that. You might be here this morning and you might be like me. For the longest time, I lived in a prison of what I would call deception. I had an image of what I thought my life should look like, what I thought being a successful preacher or a successful pastor should look like. And I spent my life hiding things that I didn't want people to know about me. I spent my life keeping things covered up that I didn't want people to see. And what I was really doing, unbeknownst to myself, was I was building a wall around my life. I was building a prison cell for me to live in. And some of you are here this morning and you know the shackles of shame all too well. I want you to hear me. I want everybody to look at me. The enemy would love to keep you in bondage. He would love for you to feel like you are too broken to be used by God. He would love for you to hide behind the prison walls of your own self-centeredness so that you could be of no use to God. He would love for you to believe the lie that you are too broken and too far gone for him to use your life for any kingdom good. But I want you to know this morning that Jesus came to set you free from this prison. That when you were baptized into his family, when you went under the water, you died to that old life. And when you came out of that water, you came out a free person who is no longer bound by selfish things, but is free in Jesus to love, forgive, and give grace. The cross sets us free from our self-centeredness. Because Jesus died for me, I don't have to carry bitterness anymore. I can forgive those who have most wronged me because I know what it took for him to forgive my wrongs. Amen? I can forgive and love those who I see around me who have more than me. I don't have to measure myself against them because I know that God loves me right where I am. He loves me just as I am, and he wants to use the person that I am. I don't have to worry or have fears about my future because I know that God has already secured my future. And so this day today is just a step in that journey. Friends, you don't have to pretend to be something you're not because God loves you right where you are. And if you're here this morning and you're bound in that prison cell, I want you to know he came to set you free. He came to bring you out of it, to give you a new life. He set us free from self-centeredness. But what did he set us free for? And I think this is the important question. Because I think it's easy for us to understand that Jesus set us free from a prison cell. I think we like the idea of living as free people, but what did he set us free for? What's the purpose of this freedom? And I want you to write this down. Jesus sets us free for the joy of loving others. Jesus sets us free for the joy of loving others. You see, most of the time when we talk about freedom, particularly as Americans, what we mean is this: I'm free when I can do whatever I want, so long as I'm not hurting anybody else. That's what we think of most of the time. We think of freedom. When I can just live my life however I want, so long as I'm not hurting anybody else. But Peter says freedom goes much deeper than that. Freedom in Christ is much deeper than just being able to meet your own needs, but it's actually getting your eyes off of yourself and looking at those who are around you and going, how can I love and share with them the same freedom that I was given in Christ? You see, according to Peter, you're truly free when you get your eyes off of yourself and out of the abundance of God's love, you overflow with love for other people. Jesus said that the greatest commandment was what? To love God and love one another. Love is one of the most important things in the world to Peter. This letter, as you read it, you'll find it's just dripping with love. In verse 122, he says, love one another deeply from the heart. In verse 217, he says, show proper respect to everyone and love the family of believers. In verse 3:8, be sympathetic, be like-minded, love one another. I like this one, verse 4:8. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. Verse 5:14, greet one another with a kiss of love. How'd you like if we started doing that on Sundays? Come in to hear the sermon, Pastor West gives you a little kiss, and you get your love for the day, right? Here's what Peter's driving at. He's saying this, I want you to live as free people, but I don't want you to use your freedom as some cover up for evil or to live for yourselves. I want you to live as God's slaves. And what he's saying that, he's not saying it's some dutiful resignation that I just have to do this because, you know, God wants me to. No, it's a free decision to love and serve people because I want to. It's the difference between I have to and I want to. Friends, I want you to hear me this morning. It is so much more joyful to live with the freedom to love others than it is to live in the bondage of serving yourself. I'll tell you a story. Yesterday, I'm scrolling through Facebook, and I come across a picture of my friend Maddie Thomas. And Maddie's just one of the sweetest people I know. But Maddie is 19 years old, is that right? And she's a freshman at Cincinnati, University of Cincinnati. She lives down at UC. And, you know, this girl has a billion things she could spend her Saturday doing. She's got friends, she's got a boyfriend, she's got class, she's got homework. I mean, there were a million things that she could do with her Saturday. But I want you to see what she decided to do. She dressed up like Snow White, which she did a great job of, and she went to this princess party that they had downtown yesterday, and she spent the whole day just hugging on little three-year-olds, picking them up, laughing with them, painting their nails. They did all kinds of little games together. And here's what I want you to see. This is why I'm showing you this picture. Look at the joy on that face. That's what the freedom to love other people produces in your life. When you get outside of yourself, when Jesus sets you free from this cage of thinking of you, and you begin to serve and love other people, what bubbles up in your life is a joy and a freedom that the world cannot give to you. Only the gospel of Jesus can produce it in your life. I'll tell you another story. I talk about my small group a lot, but I love those people and they're really awesome. This week we did an exercise at small groups, and if you're in a small group, you probably did it as well. We went around the circle in our group and we took time encouraging one another and just speaking, here's how I've seen God grow you, here's what I'm seeing God do in your life. And because my wife is really pregnant, I think everybody picked her. They just wanted to encourage her, and she's starting to get really hormonal. Actually, before I came up here, she goes, I think I'm gonna cry a lot today. And when they were encouraging her, she was just bawling her eyes out, but it was such a beautiful thing. Watching people encourage my wife, watching them minister to her and lift her up. And she left that small group just free as a bird, full of joy. There's a guy in our small group who's just been struggling to make ends meet in his life. And one couple in our small group actually moved them into their home so that he could get back up on his feet, start school. That's serving. And they're watching freedom and joy bubble up in his life. And friends, here's what happens when you live that way. You start to see life change. You see, what we saw this morning, 8 baptisms, people going down under the water and coming back up into new people, that's because the church decided to use their freedom to love people. That's because the church decided we're not going to think of ourselves, but we're going to love those who are around us. We're going to give ourselves to ministering to them. And if you're here this morning, you're going, I don't know if I buy that. I don't know if, who's to say that if I live for other people, I'm going to have more joy. Let me just say this, the proof is in the pudding. You just got to try it. What if for the next 30 days you decided, I've been set free from this prison of thinking about me, And so what I'm going to do for these next 30 days is I'm going to focus on meeting the needs of those around me. I'm going to focus on loving people. Watch as the joy you saw in that picture begins to bubble up in your life. And it's a money-back guarantee. This isn't a scam. You try it, doesn't work, bring it back. I'll give you all of your money back, all right? You can try this and watch as the freedom erupts in your life. You see, I wanted to help you with this message this week because I think we live in a culture where it is so, like, we're just kind of wired to fail. Because in our culture, it's so much about living for me and living for what I can get and trying to produce the most for me. And Jesus says real joy is so counterintuitive to that. Real joy comes from giving my life away and watching as the people around me share in the freedom that God has given me. And I'm telling you, when you see baptisms happen, or when you sit in your small group and you see people erupt with joy because of the ways you've been pouring into them, it's unlike anything else. And what's our motivation? Isn't it the gospel? Didn't Jesus say in the Gospel of Mark, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many? Friends, even God's Son, who is himself at the center of the universe, decided to use his freedom to serve and lay his life down for us so that we could be free. His blood loosed the chains. His resurrection kicked the door open to the prison cell so that we could come out of that as free people who are free to love and serve one another in a powerful way. Church, let's be free people. Let's live as servants of God who've experienced his grace and want to pour it on those around us. Let me pray. Father, we bless you this morning. We thank you for your kindness, for your joy. We thank you for the freedom that you give when you brought us out of that prison cell and into this new life with you. We thank you, God, that we can love people because we don't have to be shackled by our own selfishness, but Father, we can be free to serve and enjoy those around us in a new way. Father, would you just bless us today? As we leave here, would you make us people who are motivated by your Son's love to love those around us? It's in your name that we pray. Amen.